Welcome to Lager Episode 3, and today I'm proud to introduce another host, Jesse.
Hey, I'm Jesse. I am a guy who lives in Canada, and I use Arch Linux, and I'm all like a guy who talks about Linux and plays games, a lot of games, specifically games that involve gameplay. Thank you.
And you frequent another show, don't you?
Yeah, I hosted Gamer Radio. I co-hosted it two or three times.
And you did. What was the name of the episode that you did with somebody else? It wasn't Gamer.
Oh, it was Gamer.
That's it. That's right.
Because they kept missing weeks worth of episodes, so me and another fan sort of made a crappy replacement episode.
So where were you when they were peeing out their butts?
I have no idea.
Dan, I've just eaten, man. Stop that.
Sorry. That was a long delay.
I was sleeping or something.
Ay, ay, ay.
Sleeping for the win. Hey, I work. It's a horrible life.
What do you do for a living?
Secret. Can't tell you. And it's a bit too embarrassing to talk about.
Is it something that involves French fries?
No. Thankfully not, but it's not optimal right now.
Well, hey, you know, if it pays the bills.
White Castle.
Do you have White Castle over there?
No.
I didn't think so. Do you, T?
No, not at all. Never heard of it.
Never heard of it,
actually. I first heard it on TLTS when you told your infamous story, Dan.
Did you? No, that was Alan's infamous story about White Castle.
You had one, too. The bonus material.
Devin, do they have White Castle in Maryland?
No.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
You guys have Tim Hortons in the States?
I've never heard of Tim Hortons. What is that?
It's sort of like a donut sandwich and coffee shop.
No, we have Dunkin' Donuts. And
I know you have it in Idaho. I'm not sure where you are, though.
No, I'm in Pennsylvania. And Devin's in... Devin, where are you?
Maryland.
So, you guys failed as well.
And T's in Denmark, so no, we don't have that. And we don't... do you have a Sonic in Maryland?
There's a few, but not that many.
Because we don't have any in Pennsylvania, and there's probably none in Canada.
No.
And I doubt
where I live.
I doubt there's any in Denmark.
No, we just have a lot of McDonald's and Burger King and some kind of Arabian fast food shops with this kind of meat you put in some kind of pancake around. And then we just, it's just plain boring.
Is it a gyro?
I don't know. It's actually, it's spelled K-E-B-A-B, I think.
Oh, kebab.
Yeah, there.
All right. Well, I guess we should talk about some stuff.
Yeah.
Other than fast food restaurants around the world.
Yeah, and stomach aches.
So we introduced Jesse. Devin, you had some corrections last week.
Someone in the forums said that I had made a mistake when I said that Cube was based off the Quake engine. And that's not true. It's actually its own engine. Thanks to them, I don't know what their handle is, because the forum seems to be down right now.
The forum is down?
Oh, wait, now it's back up again. Hold on a second.
No, it's there.
Yeah,
box got rooted.
Wasn't working for a second.
No, I think it's because I got four different Skype things coming in or something like that. I'm probably hitting a bandwidth issue.
All right, it's...
That's pretty bad bandwidth.
Pekuja or something like that. P-K-U-J-A. So, thanks for pointing that out. Also, in the last episode, I said that I couldn't get all my multimedia keys to work with Liniac, and I have since fixed that. So, if you go to the forums, go to the Lager feedback and discussion, there should be a topic called Liniac, and just click on that. And it'll give you instructions to get those to work.
I have a comment on that. Recently I was actually looking up a way to do that, and you can do it without a third-party application using some system that's already set up in X. I forget exactly what it's called, like XMod something. And you can
XMod map.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Could do it that way.
Yeah, but I have used that, but I didn't have so much luck with it. I don't know.
That's the masochist way of doing it. That's the Slackware way of doing it.
Well, I did it that way. Works fine. Yeah.
No, it's the Linux from scratch way of doing it.
Yeah, XMod map is a pretty interesting utility. And
anything that's
No, go ahead.
Anything that's beyond compiling manually everything, and I'm not talking about Gentoo, I'm not talking about Slackware, I'm talking about Linux from scratch. Anything that's like that, now that is just, oh my god.
There is a, now I can't remember it, but now that you bring up the XMod map, there is a tool that you can run that will, if you press a key, it'll tell you the exact key.
That's XEV.
Yeah, what is it, XEV?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And you could just
That's what I used.
Yeah, that's what you could use and then map it in your where do you do the mapping for that?
You gotta make a specific file for your home folder, then you gotta use the XMod map command on it. The key symbols you find is something called like the key sim database, which is in some X folder.
Yeah. Just read the man page for XMod map. That'll tell you how to do
read
it.
Read the manual.
RTFM!
Somebody could write an article for that.
I actually found one. I was in the Arch IRC channel and I asked for it, and some guy said, well, I made one, here's it. And it was really nice. I don't have the URL offhand, though.
Well, you have to track that down. I'd be interested to read that.
You know what we need? We need some kind of monster voice saying RTFM or something.
That's it. It yells. It drowns out all the other voices and just repeats that about 50 times.
Yes, right.
And then if people complain about it in emails or whatever, then we send them nasty grams right back. Tell them to go to hell.
It's when Windows whiners moan about Linux not being good enough. RTFM!
Yeah. I should also comment that in Xorg 7, they changed like a large portion of the directory layouts. So if you're looking at some tuts, you should probably be aware that the key sim database is in a different place. Again, I don't know offhand, but your Xorg is not broken if you have 7. It's just different.
Right. They modularized a lot of everything in that, didn't they?
Yeah, it's gonna be. So it's gonna help them. Oh, sorry.
Oh no, go ahead.
That modularization or whatever you could say there, that's actually going to help them towards the accelerated desktop by something like accelerated indirect rendering and XGL and in the end XEGL.
I'd imagine that it also reduces the memory load too, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it probably would.
Yeah, so now you don't have to have everything loading in it if you're not even going to use it.
Kind of like Emacs, right?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Kind of like the kernel.
Yeah, the kernel. But it makes it a little tricky for some people who went from Xorg 6 to Xorg 7.
Devin did that.
Yeah, I didn't have too much trouble.
I know in the Arch when doing that, you had to make sure you got all the proper modules. I didn't have any problem. But Jesse did, and he went back to Windows after that, right?
No, I did not. I actually had to... One day I stare at my computer and like, why am I not finding drivers? But it was just a matter of reinstalling the NVIDIA drivers.
Right.
Actually, something I got a friend pimped to me that a few days ago. Actually, NVIDIA is going to have a driver release here in early April, and that should actually add further support for the accelerated desktops. Novell has said that they're actually working with NVIDIA and ATI to support the XGL stuff in their upcoming enterprise release, so I think Novell has had a role to play in this game. With getting NVIDIA to support the accelerated desktops and all that stuff. And in the end, it may actually make games perform better because you have a more advanced or maybe a more efficient way of using OpenGL on the X server.
I read on a blog or something the new version of the NVIDIA drivers that are supposed to be out early this month. They're supposed to allow AI GLX, which is the XGL done right, basically.
Accelerated indirect rendering, as Grusin calls it, or SSL technology. What it, well, oh, I'm talking too much. Sorry.
No, I mean, if you got something to add, go right ahead.
Okay. It's because we're sitting here throwing at XGL and AIGLX and all this kind of throwing all this crap out of our butt. And basically, we're talking about actually making the menus and the XDD application, even your mail program or something, have all sorts of flashy eye candy, or just basically make them render through OpenGL. And Novell is trying to do this with by adding another layer on top of the X server with something called XGL to accelerate a function called XRender, which basically render something on the screen. What Red Hat or Fedora basically would do with the AI GLX is that would, instead of adding another layer, that would just accelerate the fundamental XRender functions. And then there's a pipe dream out in the future called XEGL, which is basically rewriting a whole host of code in the X server from scratch, so that the entire server runs on top of OpenGL.
Because that's one thing Linux needs, is three separate technologies that all work differently.
Yeah, right.
That's kind of the game.
But there's one thing I've learned about open source, is that in the end, the better product always wins, so it'll be unified later on, and we'll have a better system.
So now, instead of the VI versus Emacs, KDE versus GNOME, we'll have the XGL versus AI, GL versus EGL.
No, because XEGL is actually something the XO.org guys are doing, so that's actually their plan, so it's not. And actually, XGL and AIGLX is not really competing on the same level, because they do different things in the end.
Let's just hope it all comes together.
Yeah, because AIGLX, the Fedora guys are working with the X.org developers, is actually more of a transition to the XEGL technology. So it's actually, it's not competing with XEGL, it's more helping it to come to life, basically.
So now we can get our porn with translucent backgrounds.
Oh man, here we go again.
Alpha layers.
Alright, let's better move on to
Yeah, Dan got embarrassed there.
To the Linux Gamer Guide.
I found this site through, I think it was the Gentoo forums, and I posted it on Dig a while ago, called the Linux Gamer Guide, and it's a fantastic wiki for lots of games. It has games, you can browse them by their genres, the licenses, and like it has reviews, upcoming games, and a whole... The game list is very, very large. So, check that out.
Now, how does that differ from Linux Game Tomb with a E, not with a B, because it's not where they go to die? But how does that differ from Linux Game Tomb?
Well, it's a wiki, so it has a little bit more customability. I generally like the layout of it better, but it's preference, really.
Actually, I was just speaking of finding new websites. There's a website I've known for a long time called linux-gamers.net, which is a great site for finding all kinds of information on gaming on Linux, basically tutorials and guides to how to get different games running, even how to get certain Windows games to run on Linux through Sedega or even Wine sometimes. But that's not something we should go into today.
All right, no problem.
And the URL for the site is linux.strangegamer.com, and that should be in the show notes.
Yeah, it'll be up on the site when I get to it. Hey, Zayfan, or Jesse.
Yeah?
So I used to call you Zayfan. Have you ever played Cube?
Cube? I don't know. Maybe. I play a lot of games.
It's a first-person shooter. Primarily an editor, I think, is what they're focusing on, but it's also a single and multiplayer game, open source project. It runs on, I think, all platforms.
Hold on, I'm going to Google it. I may have not, probably not.
The new version is called Sauerbraten. Just wondering your opinion on that.
I'm not going to be able to spell that.
I played a little more Cube after we talked last week, And again, I still have the clipping issue for some reason in the single-player game of Sauerbraten. But, I mean, I enjoy that. It's a fun game to sit back and just go through and mindlessly blow things up and attack things. I like, you know, I like the fact that if a creature hits another creature, they'll go after one another for a while. So, you know, because ammo is so rare in that game sometimes. It's nice to let them take each other out. But, you know, I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah. One of the good things about Cube is that it's portable, kind of. So you don't have to install anything, at least on Windows. Like, if you're at school or something, you can put it on your thumb drive, and then you can just play it off of there.
Yes, because that's what we condone, that type of activity. Because school districts love that. I know for a fact. Yes.
Make sure to password all your BIOSes. Make sure the boot order is in the correct place so you can't boot up the CD.
That's it. And we love it when it... What we love also is when somebody does put in a BIOS password and doesn't tell anybody else and nobody knows, and then they leave. That's always a good thing.
I've done that, actually.
And so you have to sit there and start looking for BIOS backdoors.
Have you ever...
Dan, you just pulled the battery out of the motherboard.
What were you saying there, Jesse?
Yeah, I was just about to say that. You ever end up just pulling out the battery?
Well, you know what? That's an interesting question, because we ended up with a whole bunch of machines where the BIOS battery was integrated into the BIOS chip. So there wasn't a separate BIOS battery.
Wow.
And when you pulled the BIOS chip off, the battery still retained the information. Because it was this weird, funky thing. So there was no way to reset this BIOS, because there wasn't even a jumper to reset the BIOS. So we had to find the back door. It was some weird Intel, I think it was, chipset.
Is that legacy, or is that something new?
No, these machines were about 8-9 years old now. But
were they even ATX computers? Were they just ATs?
No, I think they were ATX. It was just like one funky motherboard brand. And I can't even remember who put it out. It was it FIC, or was it, you know, I can't remember. I have a couple of the machines here, actually. But I'd have to disassemble them to find out what the name of the motherboard is. But they're pretty old. They're like Pentium 2s, the early Pentium 3s.
Pentium 3 is a good chip.
funky stuff. It was not a happy day when we found one that we needed to get into, and we couldn't get into the BIOS.
Why don't you, as the administrator, put password on the BIOS? Because there's always this smart-ass kid in the school that changes the BIOS password.
Well, that's who did it. Somebody did. Some administrator did do that, and he had left. And
oh, okay.
Nobody knew he never told anybody what the password was.
Oh, I thought you were referring to a student.
No, no, a student didn't do that. It was an administrator that somebody... We had a handful of passwords that we used for stuff like that, and I don't know what he decided to put his own password in there, and nobody ever knew until, you know, after he was gone and we needed to fix something.
Dan, do you guys over in your school district use a lot of a program called Deep Freeze? Because the government over here is obsessed with Deep Freeze, like not just schools, like government computers, everything Deep Freeze.
We explored Deep Freeze. They decided to go with Go Back as opposed to Deep Freeze. I liked, you know, Deep Freeze for what it was given us at the time compared to Go Back, but they said they wanted to go with Go Back instead. So, and then Go Back wasn't cutting the mustard, so to speak, so they added on another layer called Fortress on top of Go Back, and now it's a living hell.
It's sad to see these really, really old, crappy computers running both antivirus and Deep Freeze and a bunch of other weird security applications that Windows itself can't even run.
And then we have to poke holes in it to make some of the applications run. And it just kind of defeats the purpose.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, man.
Anyway, now we're getting off the game topics now.
We're going to get hate mail for this.
This is stuff you talk about in the tech show. You should not talk about that.
Oh, man.
We got Linux Gamer Guide is more of a wiki as opposed to just a website. And I'm sure it provides reviews, yes?
Yeah.
And good reviews?
Yeah. There's not a whole lot yet, but...
Maybe we should just read our reviews from there. All right. Issues with the France thing that you talked about last week with the French take on DRM and forcing Apple and other online music companies to share some of the same format? Is that what you want to make some corrections there, T?
Yeah, I have. I think I misunderstood something, or either I or the site I read the information from had a misunderstanding, because last week I said that France would actually make harsher punishments for doing online piracy and all that stuff. But and what they basically have done, which I failed to realize, is that they're going, instead of just, I don't know if it's a harsher punishment because I haven't lived in France at any time and I haven't been busted for doing anything illegal in there, so I can't tell for sure. But they're basically setting a bunch of levels for what you can be charged with. For the new legislation also, that will introduce penalties ranging from 38 euros to 150 euros for people who just pirate music or movies at home. And about 750 euros for crackers who attempt to circumvent the copy protection schemes and makes a widely available patch and all that stuff, and basically makes pirating possible and all that sorts of things like that. So good thing our good friend DVD John is not living in France right now. So, and those actually who getting caught for distributing wares online, they can be fined up to 300,000 euros, which is pretty high. And then after that, they can get jail terms. So that's basically a pretty that's a deal basically. You get for doing online piracy in France. But kind of the everyday thing you see teenagers doing, that's going to be more like a speeding ticket or something like that. Similar, what the RIA is basically doing in the United States, they're filing hundreds upon hundreds of lawsuits against people who are pirating music online because they're a bunch of greedy bastards. I said it, man. And with this new law in France, they're basically going to be like, maybe that's... I think they're going to be a little more relaxed in that case, but not with the guys that really are the high-level guys that are in the wares groups and all that stuff. Not that I would know of that, of course, but sorry for that. I'm misunderstanding last week. If I still haven't got it right, please send me an email, a private message on the GLLTS forums. And if you want to know more about this French thing and what Apple has tried to say against it, you can just go to Google, type in France iTunes space legislation or something like that, and then you'll stand back and you'll get lots of stuff.
So what you're basically saying there is the French government is on one hand trying to make it so that DRM technology that's being put into play is kind of one standard, a universal over there, so that what you buy through iTunes or what you buy through any other service should work. They want it to work on any device that you choose to use it on. But on the flip side to that, even though they're kind of like limiting what DRM, how the DRM can operate, they're imposing harsher penalties for people who violate the law with regards to DRM technology and file sharing.
Actually, you're partly right there, because they're not wanting to make DRM a standard. There could be a million DRM systems if people wanted to have that many, but then I guess people won't buy music and all that stuff. But what Apple and Microsoft and Sony and whoever makes DRM systems, let's take Apple as an example, because they're most widely known music store that uses this. What they basically have to do, if this legislation becomes the law, actually, then they're going to be forced to share their some information on their DRM with people like iRiver or the guys at the iAudio who are making devices, so that they can support their Apple's Fair Play copy protection scheme. So you can plug your device into your computer and then transfer stuff you bought on iTunes over to that device, because it's the consumer that should be decide which device he or she want to use for playing that stuff back. But actually, I think with with regards to the penalties for violating the law. In a few cases, actually, in this, they are actually minimizing the penalties, because if for the common everyday guy who downloads some shit online, actually, the penalties there was a fine from between 38 euros to 150 euros. And that's actually a lot less what the music and movie industry have sometimes imposed on people. So in that case, actually minimizing it. But if you're gonna go to get to the higher level stuff, for where people in various groups are being busted, then they can face huge penalties, because 300,000 euros is like $365,000, and then you can have jail terms at the same time. So it's gonna be a little bit harsh.
So share your files over the Usenet groups, because
don't do that, because they've actually been cracking down on that in the last few months.
I saw that too. They're calling Usenet a P2P program now.
All right.
What a bunch of lamers.
So what you need to do is just get a couple of friends together and share amongst yourself through your own personal IRC servers, and nobody will know.
No, what you need to do, you need to go to magnetunes.com and buy your music, so that you don't give your money to the greedy bastard retarded record industry.
Sneakernet.
Probably. Don't pirate music. It's not worth the risk, man.
There you go.
Music, in general, is for lamers.
That's it. And flamers. Who needs music? Make your own music, damn it.
Yeah.
Next week, Jesse will tell you how to make your own music and provide professional examples.
Because I am a musician. I only took like a year of saxophones, and now I know everything.
I see. You got the saxophone, I got the trombone, and Devin's got the skin flute. And
I can play Mary Had a Little Lamb. Awesome.
Oh, man. Don't do that, man. My sister does that all the time on one of the instruments she has. Oh, it just makes me nuts.
Crazy stuff.
If you have a kid with an instrument, you need to have like a den or something, because it'll kill you otherwise.
Yeah, I used to practice in my kitchen, which was right next to the living room, so. Oh, fun stuff.
We digress.
Yeah, well, we're done with the France thing now?
Yeah, I think so.
You lay that to rest?
Yeah, probably. That was kind of a long shot. Also, something I wanted to mention is last week we talked about what games that were available for Linux, and I failed to mention some two from ID Software, which, by the way, has put out a lot of games for Linux, actually, and even open sourced some of them. There's Return to Castle Wolfenstein, which is a first-person shooter. It's a couple of years old, but just because a game is a couple of years old doesn't make it a bad game. And there's the expansion kind of expansion for that called Enemy Territory. And Enemy Territory, I believe, actually is free, I think.
Free as in beer.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you need to have Castle Wolfenstein to play Enemy Territory? No, you don't, do you?
No.
No,
stand
you don't.
Alone. And it's available for the PC, Linux. I'm not sure about Mac, though.
I don't. You know what? I don't think it... I don't know. I don't want to comment on that because I didn't look. Is it good? I mean, have you guys been playing it?
It's
I don't play currently.
It's really, really fun at LAN parties where half of the guys there are drunk.
And that's,
you know, it's like, it's a team-based Quake 3 game with, like, classes.
Yeah, right, and it's strictly a multiplayer game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I downloaded it, but I never, I think I tried it once. I went to go up. The only thing I don't like about those is you get on the bandwagon a few months after everybody else, and you go to get on one of the servers, and you got to sit there and wait till you download the maps and crap that people are using.
Yeah.
And I just was like, to hell with that. I'll go play Blob Wars.
But I'll go play Mario.
That's it. I never had the chance to actually get into it.
Okay. I also have one more thing I wanted to mention. For all the World of Warcraft fans out there, there's actually some... For a while, it has been possible to run that game on Linux through the Windows compatibility layer called the Sedega, which is based on Wine. And I think a few days ago, Blizzard released a patch for World of Warcraft called the 1.10 patch, and that broke the compatibility with Sedega. And I think Transgaming had a fix out for that. In Transgaming is the company that stands behind Sedega. And they had a fix out for in like 2 days or something. So props to Transgaming for for not making the World of Warcraft fans go bad. They don't go, go nuts.
Are you playing that right now?
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
No way, man. I have a life to take care of.
Is anybody... Jesse, are you playing World of Warcraft?
Sort of. I have an account, and... Yeah. I also leveled someone's character for money once.
Actually, I should mention, though, I say World of Warcraft, because once you get on that game, man, you're hooked.
I don't think it's that great. The PvP, not that fun. I'm all about the PvP.
Yeah, I have I work with a guy who plays it, and he's been playing it. He's got to be playing it for about 6 months now, and I keep ragging on him as to why the hell he's not level 60 already. You know, what the hell is his problem? But yeah, I watch some of the videos that he brings in from it and stuff, and I'm like, you know, I don't know.
It's all about UO.
Yeah, I can see about getting into it, but then it just doesn't. I don't know. I'm afraid to touch it.
Yeah, and also you can't run it stable on Linux anyway, because every time they release a patch, boom, dead, and then you gotta wait a few days for a patch, and then it's just a mess. It's sausage, man.
Whatever happened with that guy who was running it on Sudega and had that keyboard that he programmed some macros in for, and then they kicked him off? Did you guys hear about that?
Yeah, I did. It was probably, I think it was the macros that did it. It was probably, I really highly doubt it was Sudega.
Well, if it was the macros, like, there's a macro system based in World of Warcraft. Like, you can pull up a menu which allows you to code macros. Like, Blizzard is really alright with you modding your user interface. There's, like, mods that automate tons of stuff, and it's all perfectly allowed.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is with that. But, you know, I keep hearing that they're coming out with these wacky new authentication schemes to make sure that you're running a legitimate copy.
It's actually, if I could just jump in here quickly, I think the reason that guy got kicked off is because he might have used a third-party macro system instead of the one Blizzard has blessed, in a kind of sense.
Well, we need to do research on that, I guess.
Was he using Glide? Because Glide is like, it's basically an AI program which levels your character for you. That's something sort of completely different.
You know, I don't know. All I heard was he had been using Sudega, and he purchased this keyboard that had capability of recording macros.
Like the Zed boards?
It might have been that, and he was using that in conjunction with Sudega, and then they kicked him off, and he was trying to figure out why and what was going on, and he was getting a runaround about it. I'll look it up, and next time I'll talk about it.
Yeah, it's interesting.
We're actually the World of Warcraft Linux gamers now.
What's that?
We should rename our show the World of Warcraft Linux gamers.
That's it. Could be Wagger. Wowger, World of Warcraft and Linux. No, World of Warcraft and Linux Wowlogger. I don't know. I was going to originally name this Lamer as an homage to
Game. I originally, when I read this name, I thought it was Lager.
Lager?
Yeah, I didn't realize it was Lager. I thought, like, Lager without an extra G.
It will be lagging if you get any more people on this. You know, I think the other problem is I got this one guy that uses my server, and he does all this funky tunneling shit.
And I'm wondering, I wonder what he's using that for.
Yeah, well, I know what he's using it for, and it's, you know, and I know why he's using it, and it's not a big problem.
Sharing Dan's porn.
No, it's not for anything illegal, but he does a lot of, like, scripting and programming stuff, and something about certain places that he's at makes it difficult for him to get to the places that he needs to get information from.
All right. But when the FBI comes knocking saying, we got IPs that said someone owned the box from this IP, they'll say, I didn't warn you.
I know what he's doing, though. I know. I keep an eye on it.
You need to run either real, man.
No, I know what he's doing. And he cleared it with me first. I mean, he's pretty cool about it.
Okay. Because, Dan, you need to watch your ass sometimes running a server sometimes, because I know for a fact that one of the things the WARS guys do is they root people's machines, especially Windows machines. They root people's machines and install FTP servers on them and use them to distribute WARS.
Yeah, it's called FXP.
Yeah, actually. And then you get like, Mr. Washko, we are the FBI. We have a IP address right here, man. Something like that.
Yeah, I know. You gotta be really careful with that crap because you gotta keep up on all the patching and updating and security. It's
a sausage party on Windows, basically.
It's even on the Linux side too. You gotta keep up with.
Of course.
This moment, there's an exploit. If you don't get that thing patched and fixed, they're in there with any way they can get in there. Any way they can get a. You know, MySQL injections and stuff like that. Woo.
Actually, something just to digress even further here, guys. Any of you guys run Mac OS X or something?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. What about you other two?
No.
Okay. Dan, this question.
Yeah.
Dan, it's a question for you. What OS do you think is more secure? Because I always feel a lot more safe on Linux or BSD.
That's a loaded question. That is a very loaded question.
Actually, the reason why I feel more safe is because it's open source. There's a lot of peer review and code reviews going on all the time, and it's not because any technical reasons. Really, it's just because of the code is open. And
I think it's a tough call because I think basically you can point at both of them and say, hey, they're. You know, they both have their pros and cons with regards to the security on them, and it all depends on what you're running on top of it.
Exactly.
I mean, you can, depending on the distribution you use of Linux, it could be right out of the box, probably about as secure as OS X, or whatever you turn on in OS X is automatically going to reduce your security.
So Red Hat 6.
So, I mean, at this point, I think there's probably both of them give a good run for the money. And again, it depends on what distribution you're running and what you turn on and what you install. It's really hard to say.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
If you want something that's as secure as something possibly can be out of the box, try OpenBSD. It's really great.
A computer without an internet connection.
And no keyboard.
Yeah.
And no monitor, because they can pull shit off your monitor these days.
Yeah, Van Eck freaking.
You should just crazy glue all the I.O. ports.
Encase it in concrete. Just have the power cord coming out.
No, would you know what we need to do? We need to put some thermite entire side of our PCs.
Like on that episode, The Broken.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, why even bother using them then?
Yeah.
Ooh.
There's a level of security you got to maintain, but you can't go insane with it.
That's why we have.
Otherwise, you turn it into like Steve Gibson or something.
No, actually, that guy runs Windows, man.
Yeah, do you listen to Security Now?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you ever listen to Security Monkey?
Yeah, I do too.
I
listen to all of them when you recommended them. They're awesome, man.
Yeah, I love Security Monkey. Now I listen to Steve Gibson, and it's just a little too much Windows for me.
Well, actually, my mind just died on me here. The last few episodes of Security Now has actually been very decent because he explains how cryptography works and all sorts of stuff like that. And it probably is a little like Windows, but then maybe it's because there are more security issues with Windows. Who knows? And also, something I noticed is that, Dan, you don't have Call for Help on TV, right?
I don't over here, no.
Oh, okay. It's because there's episode 348. they had discussed this question of what's the most secure operating system, and I was just like Link talking to Richard Stallman, kind of like squeezing my fist and smacking my microphone and all sorts of stuff like that.
What'd they say?
I mean, it was like they hold up a retail boxes of OS X Tiger and Windows and SUSE Linux 9.3, and then Leo Laporte goes, "What's the most secure operating system? Is it Windows? Is it OS X? Is it Linux?" And then once they get beside just talk about this, I think they start out talking about Windows for a few minutes, and then they're like Linux at 10 seconds, and then the other port starts getting into this Apple whore theme he has going on over there, and then they just almost forget about Linux until they discuss security issues that it has, and then they kind of like kind of mock it, and they forget that that is open source, because I see that as a huge advantage.
Those things where they like compare operating systems, like which is the best? Well, there is no best. It's like whenever there's something, it's like which is the best distribution for you? There's never an answer. It's always like, well, it depends what type of person you are, and it's really exactly. It's like every operating system can be secure as long as you keep it updated with all your software updated, and you're not, you know, you're smart about it. A Windows box can be secure as long as it's, you know, run by someone who knows what they're doing.
Yeah, off the internet.
Yeah.
Of course we all know it's Slackware, right?
I think you're using Arch now.
Yeah, no.
Dan, you know what? You don't need to go try out Novell's app Armor. It's been ported to Slackware, I think.
I have a Novell box at work, so I'm definitely going to get into checking that out.
Have you tried App Armor?
No, not. I mean, I'm going to get into checking that out when I get some time.
It's really interesting, man.
Everything's going to happen after the Boston trip.
Yeah, yeah. Well, how are you guys doing on planning on that?
We're pretty much all planned out.
That's great. Are you going to try a stream from there?
I might. Now that I got the audio issue figured out, I might try streaming. It's, I don't know. It depends on the connection from the hotel. And we also had a text show listener who said, you know, we can go over to that person's house and use his connection if it sucks.
Okay. Well, that sounds. Remember to go over to the SUSE guys and say hello to them, man. I think
We're talking with a couple of the SUSE guys.
That's good. Because I think some of the German guys are coming over.
Does everyone on the Linux Tech Show team have like a gaming device, like a Nintendo DS or something? Speaking of gaming.
No. Well, I know Alan has a PSP. Link has a PlayStation. He might have a PlayStation 2. I have a GameCube. And
you're the man, Dan.
My daughter has a Game Boy Advance, but I don't have the DS yet.
If you get one, you got to get the Castlevania game. It's awesome.
For the DS.
For the DS.
I've heard that.
It is honestly the best DS game. It's like exactly like Symphony of Night if you played it for the PlayStation. Well, it's not exactly, but it's very similar.
Yeah, I have a DS. I might check that game out.
You're going to go after the show down to Game Crazy and pick your copy up.
Actually, there's a pretty interesting, wouldn't exactly call it a game, but more of a piece of software for the DS called Electroplankton, which is kind of a little bit of a music game. It's interesting.
Is that out already?
Yeah, I think it is. It's not out in Europe yet, so I'm pretty bummed out about that.
Did they get out
of Canada for like a month?
Also, I think by the end of the year, Opera, the web browser, will be available for the DS, so you can use it for all kinds of cool stuff.
Huh.
Yeah.
I'm pissed because they bumped the release date for Twilight Princess and the Revolution back again.
Don't be, Dan.
There's a good theory behind that is that they're going to make Twilight Princess for the GameCube, but they're going to add features to it so it gets extra functionality if you play it on the Revolution. They want it so you can play it on the Revolution with, like, superior gameplay.
Nah, what I think they're going to basically do, actually, with the Twilight Princess is, I think the first delay from Christmas 2005 into 2006 was because the development team had asked for more time to polish the game off and add some new elements here and there. And then I think it's kind of the same thing happened here a few 2 months ago or something like that. But then also there were rumors going around that they wanted to add some features in there so that you can use the Revolution controller kind of as a sword or something that you wield in front of the TV.
Yeah.
I don't give a damn what they're doing with it. I just want to play it already.
Dan, you know what? Every Zelda game has had delays, but can you name one bad Zelda game?
There was some that were out a really long time ago.
The kids, they're back.
Yeah, somebody got hit in the head with a golf ball.
How did they do that?
I don't know.
Is there a lot of golf balls where you live?
No, but they were up in the cemetery. So
why were they? They were in a cemetery?
Yeah. Why don't you guys go on to the next topic. I'll be right back.
Family services. Family services.
We can digress even further. Oh, man.
They were in a cemetery with a golf ball or something. That's hilarious.
Oh, man.
All right. Oh, there's, like, games and stuff.
By the way, is Devin dead over there or something?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, he died. He got the hip.
Kids with their golf ball throwing ways.
So, guys, are you going to get one of the next-gen consoles?
Revolution, probably.
Yeah, me
good
too.
Man. Yeah, I'm getting Revolution too, man. Fuck graphics and sound, man. We need gameplay.
You guys...
But you always got them... Like, you know how they took the Xbox and they turned it into, like, this media center with the mods? Like, you can play Super Nintendo games on it and stuff?
Yeah.
It, when that stuff comes out, that... All those other consoles look more appealing because you can, like, homebrew it.
Yeah.
But they'll actually, release another...
Actually, yeah. I have two Xboxes sitting here and onto my television. One is running Debian Linux and the other one is serving as a media center with Xbox Media Center. But I never really use it for games because I find the Xbox controller, my hands start hurting after about an hour into playing a game, and the GameCube, I need to use that for 10 hours or something like that before my hands start hurting. So
it's all about the mouse and keyboard.
Yeah, man, mouse and keyboard sucks. No, it doesn't. Actually, I much rather prefer playing a game with a console because it, for me, it kind of brings me more into the game.
I have issues with controllers, at least when it's not a platformer.
Yeah. Actually, I think that for first-person shooters, I agree with you. Controllers are not very good at that. The current controllers, at least. I think the Revolution controller would be quite good for first-person shooting, actually.
I know it's a PC game, but have either of you... Well, that also an Xbox 360 game. Have you played Condemned Criminal Origins? I just played the demo. That was awesome.
I haven't been able to afford an Xbox 360, and I'm not going to buy one because I'm not going to... pay like $400-$500 for a gaming console.
It's my brother sold my GameCube and PS2, and I think the Xbox, to get an Xbox 360, and then he took the Xbox 360 and the TV to college. So now I just have my computer and DS.
Well, the DS is great, man. Don't forget that, man. The DS is great.
That sucks to be you.
Yeah.
Dan is back.
And Condemned, you get to kill drug addicts, and it's actually a really violent game, but it's fun. It's creepy too.
I really wish that Fear ran on Linux because that looks so good.
It is.
Yeah, but Dan, I think they use some kind of special features in DirectX 9, some really really high advanced pixel shader stuff. I just don't think OpenGL has anything near that. If I could be mistaken, so please don't send me hate mail if I am mistaken. But well, I think the reason why DirectX is so much in use over OpenGL is, but it might be because DirectX has some more advanced features.
And there's like this whole FOSS and FUD thing where it's Microsoft.
Right.
Have you guys seen the? Gameplay of Spore?
Yeah, it looks fun.
Yeah, it looks really innovative. It looks awesome.
And I like the idea that they said that they're going to put it onto the DS. Like, obviously it's going to be extremely stripped down, but if they do it good, it would also be a great portable game.
What is Spore?
It's a Steve Wright game.
Is that the one where you start off as a single-celled organism and work your way all the way up to intergalactic conquest?
Like Sim-Earth or something.
Yeah, okay. That sure isn't going to be out for Linux.
Unless they open source it.
Yeah, they're going to open source it.
You never know.
Do any of their games run on Linux?
I don't think so.
No, I didn't think so. You can't even do it through Sudoku.
You could download SNES and play the SimCity for the Super Nintendo.
Well, yeah, you could do that. Wait, won't SimCity, the old SimCities, won't they run under Wine?
It probably would.
They might. It's
really old DirectX, if it even is DirectX, so it should be supported.
There is a Linux alternative to SimCity also. I think it's like LinCity or something.
Yeah, have you ever played it?
Yeah, a little bit.
I suggested that to my wife, and she said that game sucks. She didn't like it. I liked it though. I think it's a pretty interesting game.
Did you try the next gen one? It was in Portage. It's just like Lin City NG. It's like a newer edition of it.
No, I haven't. I have not seen that.
Yeah, that one's better than the other one.
I'll have to definitely look at it, but I liked it. I thought it was pretty fun to play. I'll have to look at it. I don't know. I'm on the Lin City website now, and I'm not seeing anything about the next gen one.
It's in Portage. It says it uses the same website. No, it doesn't. It's lincity-ng.berlios.de.
How's Berlios spelled? Berlios?
Yeah.
That D-E?
Yeah.
Huh. Oh, wow. Hey, that looks pretty... Wait a minute. Berlios. Oh, I'll definitely check that out. And now we've gone so far off topic that, we're back to... speaking of controllers.
Controllers, you say?
Controllers, yes.
Controllers. I ever so happened to have bought a Logitech dual action controller, and it is in fact a controller. It actually looks pretty much exactly like the PlayStation 2 controllers, the joysticks and the D-pad and the buttons and the two shoulder things, and it's all like I'm playing it right now. I'm actually playing Castlevania for the Super Nintendo. Believe it or not, I've actually been playing Super Nintendo games the entire time, the one I have is called Dual Action. I think I mentioned that before. But there's four different Logitech gamepads. I'm on the site. Hold on. There's Precision. There's the Dual Action. There's Rumble Pad, and then there's Cordless Rumble Pad. The Precision one is like the really really old school PlayStation controller without the joysticks. The Precision one is with the two joysticks. The Rumble one is with the joysticks plus Rumble. And the wireless one is all of the above with wireless. And the amazing thing about this controller is that it works out of the box, plug and play, no setup, no configuration, in Linux, with SNES. And some other games, I suppose. But I've been mostly playing SNES. Is that how you say it, SNES, or is it Z-SNES, or is it Z-SNES?
I think it's C-S-N-E-S, or something like that.
Z-NES, baby, Z-NES. It's got some Zness behind it.
I'm Canadian, so it's Zed Sness. Zed.
Zed Sness. Hey, you know, I'm sure everybody knows what you're talking about now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I tried to compile it, man. It's damn complicated to compile, I found.
Well, it's done in assembly, isn't it?
Yes, it is, I think.
Which is a bit crazy in its own right.
Yeah.
Don't they have a package for SUSE?
I don't know, because the last time I messed with that stuff, I think it was like 1.5 years ago.
And I'm not promoting pirate. Actually, I am. But I own games for the SNES. I had the SNES, so technically I'm within the law. Leave me alone. Do not send me emails saying I'm a horrible person.
Yeah, actually, I know what you're saying there. I agree with you 100%.
Actually, okay. Jesse, just a final, a little note here. The Revolution, they're going to have kind of like an iTunes-style store for old video games. So you could theoretically just buy all the games you wanted there.
Yeah, there's a little debate whether, like, apparently I heard some law where if a game is no longer sold and it is unable to obtain, it's by the DMCA, it's considered like abandonware. That's paraphrased, of course. And thus it is legal. So there is this gray law where it might be legal to play SNES games, at least until the Revolution comes out, at which time it will be profitable, and thus it will be illegal to play games like that. Anyways, back to the controller and its beautifulness. It's actually not that beautiful.
Actually, at the Game Developers Conference here, Nintendo's president, Satoru Iwata, actually announced that not only are you going to be able to play NES, SNES, N64 games on the Revolution, you're also going to be able to download and play old Sega Genesis games and TurboGrafx games on the Revolution. So from Atari, I think it is, and Sega are coming over 1,000 titles on the Revolution.
I don't think it's Atari.
Is it Atari?
I don't know. I was really little when I had a TurboGrafx, but I'm pretty sure it's not Atari.
Okay, then I must... My mind is...
I think it's Hasbro.
On me. It could be. My mind is just dying on me tonight. But Nintendo also has their own large back catalog of games. It's insane how big it is. And if you can imagine at least maybe half of that on the Revolution, that would be great.
All about sidearms. Anyways, the controller. It's like a PlayStation 2 controller, but it's like Logitech. There are a few weird features, like the D-pad is not really a D-pad, it's more like a circular pad. So, when you're playing games which require you to push a single direction, it's hard, because if you move your thumb in any angle that's not perfectly straight, it'll be diagonal, because it's circular, it's not straight lines. Thus, your thumb can like go all over the place. It's crazy. And I've had a few issues with like Blob Wars, where it will not automatically detect when I try to configure with the directional pad. It'll work with the joysticks, but for some reason it won't work with the directional pad, which is odd. And but it's all like a joystick and a gamepad, and it's like USB and plug and play, and no drivers required, assuming that you have the USB gamepad kernel thing. You know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
The HID. I think it's called HID.
Human Interface Device.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah.
So you gotta have that, obviously. But other than that, it's like a keyboard. It's like that pre-configured. Awesome, huh?
How much did that run you?
It cost me a Canadian $30, but I think it's like $20 for an American.
Huh. What's the name of that again? The Logitech, which one do you
Logitech have? Dual Action Gamepad.
Dual Action Gamepad. I'll have to look out for that.
If you're just going to play SNES games, you can get the what's called the Precision one, which is the same thing with the joysticks, for $9.99 USD.
That sounds pretty cool. Have you used it to play any other games other than Blob Wars and the SNES? I mean, has it been...
I played it's a Windows game, so it really doesn't matter, but it's called Grid Wars, which is like it's a clone of, what's that game, Geometry Wars. It actually works on Linux, too, but you got to compile it yourself using a weird language no one uses called BlitzMax.
We'll be reviewing that next week, right?
Yeah, because BlitzMax is it's a pretty proprietary language, and you got to like buy a compiler, and there's no demo for Linux, so I'm not going to be doing that because I can't compile it for free on Linux.
Well, that nips that in the bud.
It is open source, though, so if you have BlitzMax compilers, you can, like, be all open source about it.
Now, if somebody goes out there and compiles it, do you actually have to have the BlitzMax libraries then to run it, don't you?
I have no idea.
I'm wondering.
I've never run a BlitzMax game before this, and I've never used it on Linux.
Oh, well, no problem.
And this seems like a pretty basic language. It's like Visual Basic specifically for video games.
Oh, okay. So is it like a bastardized version of Visual Basic?
Well, no, it's not like Visual Basic, but you know how Visual Basic is like very easy for a specific type of application?
Right.
It's BlitzMax is sort of like that. It's very easy to make a specific type of application, and that application is like games.
Oh, okay. All right, I know what you're talking about then. Never used it, but...
Yeah.
All right, no, so, I got it.
I don't go out there and like say, I want to make BlitzMax games. That's really not a hugely viable option for that much, unless you're just going to mess around with it. Don't learn Java. Learn C.
For designing your own games?
No, just for everything.
For everything.
I don't like Java. I don't. I think it's evil.
Me too. I prefer Python or C.
It's all about C. Not even plus, it's just about C. Or assembly.
Assembly, God.
Everyone should learn assembly now. You're using too many resources by using Java and the C++.
Actually, one thing I hate about Java is that even though Sun has always said, "Ooh, Java is cross-platform," blah 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 blah, it's only as cross-platform as Sun's Java is until we get a free Java, which actually is the GNU project has done some serious work on their Java platform in the last six months or so, or something like that, and it's really starting to get really good because. For example, I can run Azurius on my Mac Mini with on the Fedora Core 5 with that Java platform, and it works great. So no Sun proprietary crap.
Yeah. Do not send me email about Java. My mind is made up. You cannot change it. It's like a stone wall. Do not try to send me an email.
Perhaps some of you Java programmers out there might be able to change Jesse's mind.
No.
He welcomes email.
It is set in stone.
No.
I hate it. It's awful. I refuse to put it on my system. Well, I really don't refuse, but I'm reluctant. Reluctant.
Send your hate mail to digressing@gmail.com.
Yeah. Send it there. And, so yeah, the gamepad. There are a few issues. Like, for some reason, one of my joysticks is a little bit off, so I had to, like, specially configure it for Grid Wars because it wouldn't fit perfectly within what's called the dead zone. Look it up on Wikipedia. I'm too lazy to explain it. There's that whole D-pad issue. And personally, I do not like the PS2 controllers because the joysticks are, like, down, like, really close to your thumbs. I mean, like, really close to your body compared to the D-pad. So you got to put your thumbs in a weird, funky position. You know, I think C4 on Game Radio said it best. It's like Sony wants us to grow an extra thumb.
Right. I never understood that. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
If you want, like, you're not going to be able to buy a Super Nintendo controller for SNES. Well, actually, that's sort of a lie. I saw this is adapter, where it's like a USB to SNES interface adapter, where you can take an official SNES controller and plug it into your computer. But aside from that, there's not that many SNES controllers anymore, but since the PlayStation controller is rather similar to it, you can use that instead.
Definitely. And I actually have an old gamepad around here, and I think it might be a really old Logitech that actually plugs into the game port of the
I have one of those too.
Yeah, it even looks like almost like an old Super Nintendo controller. It's like the same basic shape and the four buttons on it. A, B, C, D. Did Super Nintendo have four buttons?
It had four buttons, but it wasn't A, B, C, D. It was A, B, X, Y.
Yeah, A, B, X, Y. And I think that's what mine is, that just A, B, C, D, though. They didn't want to get sued, I guess. I don't know. We have two game reviews tonight that Devin wants to talk about. Devin, go ahead, man. Hit us with these, because I have a question for you about the first one.
All right. First one I'm going to do is Kings of Chaos. It's a online MMORPG, and it's not like World of Warcraft. It's all text-based. If you're like a fan of Dungeons and Dragons or something, this you'll like probably. And I'm not a big fan of that either, but I still find the game really addictive. And what you do is you...
Now, when you're saying Dungeons and Dragons, you mean like the original role-playing as opposed to the newer video game versions, right?
Well, kind of.
Being text-based.
Yeah. It's not like... It's all on one website, and it doesn't use Flash or anything, so yeah, it's all text-based. And you basically... It differs in it because you're like a commander of an army instead of like one guy, and you build up your army, and you can upgrade your defenses and your attack and like how many people you get. And you attack other armies, and you can choose what race you are. You can spy on others, sabotage their things. There's a whole lot of people playing it. Although I did hear from someone that this age 5, is going to be up soon. So what that means every age is that you restart, everyone restarts, but you still have the same commanders and officers.
Uh-huh.
So everyone starts from a new slate, and you can all work your way up to the top.
So now's about the time to start, if you want to check it out, to start looking at it. So it's going to be a clean slate soon?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Now, how do they do that all text-based? I mean...
They basically just, like, use a whole bunch of PHP code and put it in a database, and then you basically have, like, attack turns, and you can, say, use this many on this person, or you can spy on them, see their stats, and you have rankings of how good people are in certain areas.
And I guess this is something you could play from anywhere, because it's browser-based.
Yeah.
And it's that addicting.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
Has anybody else played it?
I got two of my friends to play it.
Has anybody else in the show played it?
No, I haven't played it. So that's PHP and JavaScript?
I don't think it has any JavaScript. It's just PHP and SQL and stuff.
Does, like, the page have to reload every single time you insert a command?
Yeah. I think.
All right.
I don't know what you're saying exactly.
So it's kind of like you put something, you make a choice, you press the button, and a new page comes up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Is there any graphics at all in this? Like, any pictures at all, or is it just pure text?
For the most part, it's just pure text.
Like, if you kill somebody, is there, like, a bloody body laying on a battlefield somewhere?
No.
No?
No.
That's something to check.
What is the background color of the screen?
It's black. And the layout changes depending on your race a little bit, but I think they're all black. I'm not sure.
Is it customizable then? Your screen layout?
You can't customize it, but it depends on your race.
Okay.
So if you're like an elf, you're green or whatever. You have green title things.
Could you imagine like typing on like a white screen? God, I don't like white pages. I even don't like the Google white page. It has to be black.
Did you see the on Dig there was a layout for Google that was black? Did you see that?
No, I'll have to look that up because I would love that because like Google burns up my eyes late at night.
Yeah, it looks the black one looks awesome, but I doubt that.
It's like a Dan. What was that thing where it was there was like that online operating system was
Eyes OS.
And it had, like, that weird green color.
It was yellow on green.
Yeah. That's what I fear.
They changed that, though. So
it's my nightmares.
Speaking of a black Google, imagine yourself sitting up late at night with a Diet Coke sitting behind to the side of your mouse, and then you go to a Google, and it's black, and you type in the Anarchist Cookbook.
Yeah.
Imagine that. Oh, that's shady.
What was that URL for iOS? Wasn't it iOS.org?
iOS.
iOS, not eyes. That's why I'm not getting it.
Oh, my eyes!
iOS.org. Ouch.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, there it is. There it is.
Yeah, because I would not touch that game if it had that color scheme going on. That's a fatal flaw right there.
I don't know, man. That's pretty, the iOS site hasn't changed color.
It changed the layout a little bit, but they have, at the actual site, they still have that color, but when you have the software, you can change the theme so it's not killing you.
Yeah, I know.
It might be maiming you, depending on your theme. But
oh, no, they did change the color a little bit. Yeah, I see it now. Okay.
Yeah.
It's a little easier on the eyes. It's still white. Just white now. White and gray.
Another game I was going to review is Warzone 2100. Have any of you ever played this?
No, you had mentioned it last week, didn't you?
Yeah.
Isn't that like a really old game?
It was, started in 1999.
Yeah, I think I've played that before.
Yeah, it was the, second game I ever bought. I think the first was, like, one of those 10-pack CDs, or a CD with 10 games on it, like Doom and stuff.
Okay.
But, this game is a RTS, a real-time strategy, so it's somewhat like Command and Conquer. It was originally proprietary, but in I think it was 2004 they open the source under the GPL license, and then people started porting it to Linux. It was originally made by Pumpkin Studios and Eidos Interactive.
Now, do you need the actual original discs with the data on it to play this game?
No. Although the one of the agreements of them making it GPL was that there was no videos. So if you're playing the single player in it on the Linux version, or the GPL version,
right.
It doesn't have any videos, so it's hard to follow the storyline. But in the actual one, it does. It's basically the storyline is when there was a big war and a bunch of people died, and there was like small, kind of like civilizations that were trying to rebuild what they had, and some wanted like absolute control, and you're basically the good guys, and you have to destroy the others to bring peace, supposedly. And what you don't realize is the people that started the war are actually people that you have to fight later on in the game.
Huh. So it's an oldie but goodie.
Yeah.
And the Linux version right now is full-featured?
Yeah, except for the video, which...
Right, aside from the video.
And the site... which I should mention right now. developer.berlioz.de/projects/warzone, and that'll be in the show notes. They haven't updated their source since like last year, but on the forums they still seem to be going, so I don't know, it might be in a subversion that there's a lot of development. I'm not sure.
And Berlioz is the same development group that's putting out SuperTut.
I think it's... Is it a... I think it's kind of like a SourceForge type thing.
Yeah. Wait.
Yeah.
Isn't it... it is a SourceForge type thing. So I'm seeing SuperTuts on here, too. And so definitely... Now, you have to obviously compile this yourself. Was there a Gen 2 package?
Yes, there was. There is a binary in case you don't get it to compile, which I originally didn't, but I don't know what... I guess since I'm on AMD 64 now, it worked for some reason. But the URL for the binary is http://tinyurl.com/r57gt, and that will go to the Loki installers for Linux games. And there's a file there, which is the torrent. Right beside there is the direct download in case no one's seeding it. So
now is that available off their website?
The binary? No, I had to do some searching to get it.
Oh, okay. I wonder if you could use the gamepad for that, the Logitech gamepad.
I don't know, man. It's all like, yeah.
Because the Logitech gamepad's all that.
Yeah, it's all that, man. It's all that and more. I'm actually playing X-Men right now.
Which one?
The Mutant Apocalypse.
Is that the one where you have Cyclops, Gambit,
yeah,
Wolverine?
You got like all those dudes.
Is there one level where you're like Cyclops or one of the guys? I think I don't know if it's you're going through a mine and you're in a mine cart.
I don't know. There's a lot of Super Nintendo games where there's a mine cart.
Well, but I mean for the X-Men one. I'm trying to remember what
I have no idea.
That one.
I'm just like randomly playing. So
yeah.
I haven't actually made it that far. I keep dying. I'm not very good.
My daughter found that my GP2X will play games, and she's been hooked on the remod of Super Mario Brothers, which is called Super Alice Cooper. So they replaced Mario with Alice Cooper, and they got like snakes and stuff in there instead of the bad guys. So.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's pretty.
That's appropriate for children.
That's it. Well, you know what? Actually, Alice Cooper is not that bad. And if you ever seen him in concert, his show isn't that bad. Compared to, like,
I'm not
War.
That old.
He's still around. I saw
yeah.
him last year.
You just keep saying that, Mr. Yeah. I Have Kids.
Yeah. But I was going to talk about the GP2X, but we're so far into time. I think I'm going to save it till next show. We could take an email now. We don't have any.
Hey, Dan, just to throw
awesome.
Hey, Dan, maybe you should record that or something and then edit this thing, because I think we digress so much that it's kind of boring to listen to.
People love that stuff.
Are you sure about that? We're going to get an 8-deal for this.
The witty rant banter.
That's what they love.
The witty banter.
But, you know, I'd definitely go through it and take out some pauses, and I don't think that's... We'll see. We'll see what people say.
There's some weird stuff in this joke, too, so maybe you should give it a listen or something, just to... Because there's some weird stuff in here, man.
Yeah, because he wants to listen to it again.
Yeah, right.
You know what? Actually, that's the one thing, because I do re-listen to it, and go to get through the audio and the post-production. I do the same thing with, like, the tech show. But after like, going through and doing all the stuff, I get so sick of listening to the show, I just want to throw it in the garbage.
Actually, something I feel almost all bad right now for digressing so much.
I suffered enough of gamer radio.
So I guess we're going to close it up if anybody has any last words.
I don't know. Get a Logitech gamepad and play, like, Chrono Trigger. Chrono Trigger is the best RPG ever, man. It's all about Chrono Trigger.
That was on that was in the SNES, right? Do you have that?
Yes, it was. It was also on the PlayStation. They remade it. Well, they didn't really make it. They ported it to the PlayStation.
I'll have to look that up. I'll have to find I'll have to find a copy of it at the used game store so I can download the ROM.
Yes, you must do that legally. Legally!
That's what I'll have to do. Shouldn't be that hard to track down.
Except for Chrono Trigger costs like $70 on eBay now.
Yeah. You know what? I have a friend who has a copy. I'll just steal his.
And then
I can legally download the ROM.
Yeah, exactly.
I think he
just dumped the ROM.
Yeah, he was getting rid of all his games a few weeks ago. I better go check and see.
Dan, if he's getting rid of gold Super Nintendo games, he can dump them right on my doorstep. I'll take them.
There you go. Yeah. All right. I want to thank everybody for listening. You know, we'll be back again. I don't know, maybe a week or 2 weeks with a little more preparation on my part. I apologize for that. And, you know, thank you guys for coming on.
No problem, man. I'll see if we can get a little more content for the next show, because I think Ryan was a little thin on content this week.
Hour and 20 minutes thin on content over here, according to the recording. So we'll close it up, and thanks a lot. I'll talk to you guys in a few.
A few.
That wraps up another episode of Logger. Thank you very much for listening. Any questions, comments, or feedback, email us at logger@thelinuxlink.net. You could also post on our forum at thelinuxlink.net or on our webpage at thelinuxlink.net/logger. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Feel free to copy, share, dissect, or do whatever you want with it for non-commercial purposes. The opening sound effects are from Blob Wars. The opening music is James Underberg's The Battle, and we also close with that. Again, thank you very much, and have a good day.